And the intro music is not playing. I'm sorry about that, guys.
Okay, well, why don't you start?
There we go. Sorry about that. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Joseph Raganas, filling in for Alan Podcotter, who's on vacation, and you're listening to Call Talk for January 4th, 2023. Today's topic is maximizing the human in the contact center. If you're listening live, we invite you to be a part of the show and ask questions. Here's how you do it. Email us at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and available to listen to at benchmarkportal.com at any time of the day. And now, I would like to introduce the host of Call Talk, Bruce Belfiore.
Thank you, Joseph, and welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about maximizing the human in the call center. I'll be interviewing Nicholas McDonald, Director of Customer Experience at Select Consulting and lecturer at the University of Maine. A graduate of Ashford University with a bachelor's in organizational management and an MBA in finance and information systems, Nicholas will draw from a long and productive career in contact center leadership at Machias Savings Bank in Maine, where he put employee culture first, fostering employee engagement and teamwork that empowered his colleagues to provide excellent customer experiences. He is a believer in the power of small, incremental changes, and he'll share his approach and results with us. He's a national public speaker in customer experience and coaches leaders to grow their teams best and take the right tech strategy. On top of everything else, he owns and operates a small goat dairy farm and has a strong passion for horsemanship, spending his free time training his young quarter horse. So thanks for coming to the show, Nicholas. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, great. Well, you know, Nick, you're the first goat farmer that we've ever had as an interviewee on Call Talk. So I just have to milk that for all it's worth, pardon the pun. How did that happen, Nick?
Well, I grew up working or having horses and never in my life thought I would have goats until I met my husband who had goats growing up. And so we ended up having just a couple goats and some chickens. A couple goats then turned into more goats. And then all of a sudden we had a dairy farm. You know, life just kind of goes that way sometimes.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Actually, I just had some Italian goat cheese last night that was fabulous. Mm. So good for you. Good for you. Does most of that milk go into milk or into cheese?
Most of it is turned into either soap or cheese.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's great. Well, wonderful. I'd like to start asking questions about your background, besides the goat farming, and say a few words, if you will, about your operation at Machias Savings Bank, and tell us about how you created and nurtured the culture that you wanted as a manager.
Of course. At Machias Savings Bank, I started as an entry-level agent. And what really hooked me about the MSB culture was the small-town feel and that everyone at the organization truly cared about the customer and employee experience. I quickly rose through the agent ranks by really caring about that customer and putting myself in their shoes. And when I moved into contact center leadership, first in a team lead role, and then moving into the AVP customer service manager role, I worked diligently to build efficiencies by moving the contact center from siloed systems to a single omni-channel contact center software, which built the foundation for much more.
Okay, that's great. And we'll talk more about that later too, Nick, because we at Benchmark Portal have always been really big proponents of silo busting and making sure that you do have an omni-channel mentality as well as systems to support that mentality. So, but next, let's focus on how you recruited and screened candidates, because the human side here is so important, as you said in the title of this. So how did you do the recruiting and screening of candidates?
That's an excellent question and really a key piece to developing and building the team that we had at Metralia Savings. My interviewing process always started with a phone interview, focused on getting to know the possible hire. This would quickly let me know, me and my team leaders know, if the person could think quickly and was able to be personable on the phone. The primary goal here is to see if they can connect with someone in a non-in-person interaction. Next, we would bring the best interviewee in person for a truly conversational behavioral interview. The goal here was to see if they could give quick, honest answers to best learn their behavior from previous roles, and we would dive into who they are in conversation to see if they would be an appropriate fit for our fun-loving customer service family. We always made sure candidates left saying that was the most fun interview I had ever had. One question that I started to roll out, and this was after a trip to Zappos and reading Tony Hsieh's book, and I think the question was put by Zappos as one of their interview questions: how weird are you? So one day I just thought, I'm going to try that. And if I thought the interview was starting to go in a positive direction, I would throw that question out there just to see how they handled it. And after trying that a few times, I realized that was a great key to seeing that person's true nature, because they would either close up and think, I'm uncomfortable, or they would open up and be their true self. And that's really what I aimed at trying to find, is who is this person truly in those interviews.
Interesting. Okay, that is quite the story there, Nicholas. Thank you for sharing that with us. I remember leading a group of foreign contact center managers through Zappos numerous years ago, and there was one gentleman from China there, and he had a tie on. He was the only one with a jacket and tie on, and literally the person who was leading the tour came up with a pair of scissors and cut the tie. I could not believe it. It was unbelievable. So anyway, it was all done in good fun, but I did feel the need to gift the gentleman a new nice Italian silk tie afterwards to take the place of the one that had been cut up. Anyway, yeah.
Of our a term that our previous chief customer experience officer at Metralia Savings Bank would always say about the culture.
Yeah.
And he said, we're not stuffy bankers here. We like to have fun.
That's great. That's great. And, you know, being a New Englander myself, who now lives in California, and knowing that there are the cultural differences there, et cetera, finding sort of Zappo-type people in Maine, I think, could sometimes be a challenge. But I'm glad that you know, have found a way to break through some of those barriers. Well, that's silo busting, isn't it?
Okay.
On the cultural side. That's good. Well, great. And very creative approach to that. But what are some of the pointers that you could give our audience of mainly call center managers, the people who listen to this, regarding onboarding and training agents to optimize the positive results that you're looking for, including things like a positive attitude and a sense of urgency, which is something that I know has always been important to you?
I think one of the key items when onboarding a new hire is the drive for having a sense of urgency must be apparent in your current team members' behavior. You must build that culture with the individuals on the team that you have already. And training a new hire with a sense of urgency will all but be lost if your culture does not thrive on doing all that you possibly can to satisfy that customer on that one interaction. More times than not, the agents or team leaders doing the onboarding would be the ones that truly bled the bank's colors, orange and blue, for our customers. This sense of urgency was based on a natural optimism and care of there must be a way to fix any scenario that we may be given by our customers. And that individual that I referenced a few moments ago, the chief customer experience officer, I remember she stopped into the contact center one time, and we had a couple new agents onboarding, had some senior agents training, and they just looked at the new agent looked so stressed. And she goes, why are you stressed? What's the worst thing that could happen? And, you know, they listed something, and she goes, well, nobody's going to die. We can fix just about anything. And that mentality really just rang through in all of our training and our culture that no matter what comes up, there's a way that we could fix it. And there was never a time that you could not call on anyone throughout the bank. It wasn't that some individual was above speaking to a customer, whether that was another agent, a business banker, an underwriter, or the CEO itself. The CEO on YouTube gave out his personal cell phone number for any customer to call at any time of the day. That was the type of culture that we lived and breathed by at Metraya Savings.
No, quite a culture it is, in fact. Why don't you give our audience a sense of the size of your operation? Because, of course, certain things that are possible for operations, contact center operations of, say, 100 and less, may not be possible in an operation of a few hundred or more. So give us a sense of the operation that you have.
Of course. When I first started with Metraya Savings, we had a dozen employees, including the supervisor at the time, and everyone reported directly to the supervisor. And when I left Metraya Savings, we were at 23, and I had drastically changed the structure of it to increase the coaching ability for each agent as well.
Okay, very good. Well, let's drill down on what you call your family-first philosophy, which actually is a philosophy which can be used in centers of any size, really, as long as it's communicated from the supervisor level and supported at the senior level. But tell us about that, which included community involvement and also giving employee engagement and teamwork kind of a place of primacy in the center.
Absolutely. At Metraya Savings, it was clear from any part of the organization that we were encouraged to take time to be with our families. And the CEO of the organization put it the best way, that if your son or daughter has a sporting event, your mind is there. Your mind is at that sporting event. It's not there with you at your desk while you're working on reviewing a loan application. It's over there at that sporting event, and that's where you should be, supporting your family. You can be there at work when your mind is focused and in the best place for work. In customer service in my department, we truly lived up to this philosophy. And if somebody was, had a sick kid, a sick family member, major life occurring, we would allow them to work from whether it was out of state, take time off with pay, and anyone on the team would jump to cover that other person's shift so that they could be with their family. And if it ever came back around, that other person would always be more than willing to step up So it was true teamwork of each agent, each team member working together to create a true family environment within that CS team.
Yeah, I think that part is so important. You need to have the family approach to it. And actually, we hear that word used quite a bit in the best centers as we do our research on agent satisfaction. The word, you know, family culture. Some people say, this is my second family, this sort of thing, in their responses. But what's really important there, of course, is reciprocity. I can imagine some of the people listening may say, you know, how did Nick do that without having people abuse that, you know, grace, if you will, that the center gave them in terms of being able to take time off from work and be with their families and that sort of thing. So what words of advice would you give to managers to say, I'd like to either have what Nick had or move toward what Nick had as far as is reasonable and possible for my center, but make sure that people act responsibly and that there's accountability. What thoughts do you have on that, Nick?
So with the family first philosophy and having the mentality of being able to drop anything and help someone else on the team, I will not say that it was perfect all the time. We definitely had some that occasionally would abuse this. So that's where I worked on the organization of the team to have a supervisor to agent ratio of in the single digits. And that coaching, direct coaching, is what helped build that environment. Because if we had somebody that started to go down that path of abusing it for things that may not be, say, urgent or significant, say if kids were always sick or something like that, then we would guide them back to, okay, what are some items that we can work on to be proactive and plan ahead for any of these items. So that doesn't seem like it's an emergency. If it's a sporting event, you should have a schedule well ahead for, say, a whole semester. Let's plan for that so that we can get this balanced out, and then we're more than happy to work with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are good inputs there. Can you also tell us about your approach to job growth in the customer contact operation? You know, as managers, we all know that professional growth can be a challenge for many centers, which have pretty flat organization charts and limited resources for professional development. What were your approaches there, Nick?
Many times I've seen this where contact centers have very narrow job descriptions and that there's limited growth potential, as you've stated. Whether this is talking to others at conferences, and I even felt this when I first joined Matria Savings Bank, just wondering, where do I go from here? I love this team. I don't really want to leave the team, but I want to grow. And we had a fair amount of turnover when I first started as an agent because there wasn't a lot of opportunity to grow within the team. After seeing that for a while, I really wanted to change that for the customer service family. And over time, I developed the culture that if somebody wanted to learn more about another area of the bank or a possible contact center role that may not exist yet at MSB, I would support them 100%, as that knowledge would directly impact our performance in the contact center and as a bank. Multiple employees under my leadership grew into more specialized roles in the bank and within our department. This included moving off to the asset management department, retail loan administration department, or developing workforce management roles or data analysis roles or quality management right within our contact center.
Okay, and that, you know, I love that idea, and it's something that we've encouraged people that we work with to do as well. I call it the agent alumni concept. And you know, that can be in part just making sure agents know about how other areas work. They can be seconded for a certain period of time, then come back to the center. And in many cases, they move from the center, which is a wonderful training ground for having customer-centric people in your organization who also get to know an awful lot about the organization because they have to answer questions on all aspects of the organization. And
we had,
and so, go ahead.
We had a program similar to that, or sounds similar anyway. It was called Walk a Day, and they would be able to choose, I believe it was 3 or 4 different departments that they were interested in learning more about, and they could go spend a day or two with any one of those departments, learn more about it, and then bring that knowledge back and potentially go take classes to their career in that direction if that's something they desired.
Excellent, yeah. And that also is another way of promoting silo busting too, because there's nothing like getting to know the people on the other side of the silo and getting to know the functions on the other side of the silo to realize how things really can be integrated and should be integrated to give the best service possible to the customer. So that's great. And you know, when somebody does leave the center permanently for another position in the company in another area, instead of saying, oh, we've lost you, it's more like you're one of our alums. And, you know, we're proud of you. You're moving on. You're one of our alums, and you'll always be one of us. You know, it's like once a Machias call center agent, always a Machias call center agent.
It really felt like that, too, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. And, you know, we've also seen situations where when, for some reason, there is a big ramp-up in calls of things, that people can be called back into service. And so you're in kind of a reservist situation, too, where you can be called back into service if needed in order to give excellent customer service. So anyway, great thoughts there. Well, can you give us some examples of projects that brought significant efficiency gains and customer experience improvements at your center? And, you know, you can talk about the things that you did on the people, process, and the technology side.
So the first project that really rebuilt the technological foundation for our department was the transition from multiple siloed communication channels, including a PBX phone system, chat, secure messages through our online banking, and multiple different email address inboxes to one unified cloud contact center solution. That move allowed us to be more efficient and effective with our communication to our customers. And one of the biggest items that we didn't necessarily focus on in the project, but it was a result of the project, was the clarity we gained around our data and having all of that data within one system. At first, this data was a bit of a frightening truth of where we actually stood in accordance with our culture standards of answering the calls within 3 rings. But this gave us a baseline. This implementation happened at the beginning of 2020, just a few short months before most of the world shut down for the pandemic. The beauty of being on a cloud-based system was the agents could take their computers and headsets home to work. So that was very simple. And it just was, we were blessed to have the timing work out in such a way.
Yeah, that's great. And Nick, if I could just go back to the idea of answering the calls within 3 rings, that is quite an ambitious goal. And where did that come from, and how difficult was it to actually fulfill that?
Absolutely. So answering the call within 3 rings began with a gentleman named Ed Hennessy, Ed Hennessy was the chairman of the board while I was at Matria Savings Bank. Prior to that, let me go back a little ways. He initially started at the bank in the 70s as a teller and worked his way up through the organization and was really one of the drivers for much of the growth at Matria Savings Bank, both in branches, assets, and then culture. Really.
Mm-hmm.
And the small town personalized culture really came from Ed Hennessy. He drove that forward, and he always would had a distaste for any automated message. He wanted a personal connection anytime he called someone. So he drove that throughout the organization saying, we need to make sure that we are picking up the phone and somebody doesn't get a voicemail or an automated message,
mm-hmm.
that they get a real person on the other end of the line to answer their question. And he would, if somebody's phone was approaching the third ring and if he wasn't within physical range of that phone, he would say, he was kind of had the big bellowing voice. He would holler out across the bank, is somebody going to answer that phone? And if he was walking by your desk and your phone was ringing and it was approaching the third ring and you were not picking it up, he would push you out of the way and pick the phone up to make sure that that customer got that experience. It was such a deep passion, and that existed throughout everybody else. It then officially made it into our culture standards, and everyone in the organization truly believed that that was a great way to be able to connect and answer our customers. And it still lives on. Yeah,
they're very interesting.
Difficult to achieve as volumes continue to increase, though.
Yeah.
And all of these technology companies kept telling us, oh, you should put a interactive voice assistant up the front. You should have a virtual assistant, a conversational virtual assistant. And I understand that. I understand the efficiencies of those systems. But those systems don't match up with that culture. And what we ended up having to do is increase staffing. We implemented a workforce management system and a voice biometric system to increase efficiencies all around, and then many other smaller incremental efficiencies, process efficiencies, to get up to that service level that we desired, and that's 90% of interactions within three rings.
That's great. That's great. We're starting to get toward the end of our time together here, but I did want you to just explain for our audience, for those who might not know about voice biometrics, if you could just explain that to them and how it worked for you.
Absolutely. So there's two different methods that you can go with voice biometrics. You can either have active voice biometrics where you can say, my voice is my password, so you have a particular phrase that you would use, or you can have it be passive. And that's sort of the direction that we went, because through enrollment, we wanted to keep it similar to the verification questions that our customers had used in the past. And those questions were this simple, may have your name, may have the last four of your social, may have two transactions that might have been on your account. And after answering those few questions, that customer would be enrolled. And then when they call in the next time, we could dive right into a conversation, and in under 5 seconds, the system that we used would be able to give us a green light or a red light to tell us that that customer was who they say they were. It was absolutely incredible, massive efficiency gain it was between 30 to 45 seconds efficiency gained on every verified caller.
That's huge. And also in terms of satisfaction, customer satisfaction, not being asked to give all kinds of verification answers is something that reduces, you know, the annoyance factor of making the call. So great stuff. Thank you for explaining that to our audience, Nick. And we're really up toward the end here, but I would like to just ask you briefly, can you talk to us about your belief that not all modifications need to be big, that you have this strong feeling that small incremental changes can really add up quickly and significantly improve both the customer and agent experiences?
Absolutely. I think one of the best methods I used for this was just going to sit with agents or going to take calls myself to see the process that agents were going through for simple actions. So something as simple as changing an address on someone's account, seeing all of the different steps that would occur with that, and then going and talking to the software manager or the department manager that managed that particular process and just asking the questions that nobody else was asking. And you could most times create a much more efficient process just by asking some questions. And that consistent process of going to review what's occurring every day can make massive action if you keep at it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much for your inputs here. This is a really excellent call talk episode. I appreciate your being on, Nicholas. And so at this point, we'll turn things over to Joseph to wrap things up.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. And the last thing that I'll leave all of you out there with is be present. Listen to others, and always know that everyone has a story.
Yes. Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Thanks again to Nicholas McDonald and Bruce Belfiore for your insightful discussion on today's show. Be sure to join us again next month for another great show or look at our huge selection of archive shows and topics at freshmarkportal.com. Then click on Call Talk, where you will find over 7 seasons of this show. From all of us at Freshmark Portal, keep those headsets steady and your fingers ready. This is Joseph Ragana signing out, and have a great day.